Praise God. Wanda, read 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 16. Just that one verse.
For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Amen. We've been talking about and sharing for several weeks now on the seven desires or longings, seven longings that God has placed within us. And this verse says, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Therefore, we can see things. We can see each other through the eyes of the Lord. We can see things as though they are finished, because that's what Jesus does. He said he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And every time I read that, every time I think about it, I said, oh, praise God. But I don't, you know, but he sees us without spot or wrinkle. I mean, that kind of, I don't know about y'all, but sometimes that blows me away that I'm without spot or wrinkle. Praise God. But he sees us that way. And then with another scripture that we've used quite a bit, and it really, you need to let it really sink in, is in Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 6. Dark yet lovely. I am, in verse 5, I am dark but lovely. God revealed to the Shulamite her dark areas of her heart, but he also speaks of how lovely she is to him. Praise God. That's the way he sees us. It's lovely. We need to change our minds, change our thoughts about, you know, it's easy to get down on yourself. Amen? Have you ever had a problem getting down on yourself? The Lord sees you lovely. All the junk in you, he still sees you lovely. He still enjoys you. He still loves you. The other scripture that I read and blows me away is in Song of Solomon 4:9. It says, you have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eye. Can you imagine that? When we just look to Jesus, when we look to him, it says it ravishes his heart. You know, I don't know about y'all, but that kind of gets me, because I could just look to Jesus and said it ravishes his heart. Praise God. We talked about the first longing that the Father puts in us is the longing to know that we're enjoyed. We're enjoyed by God. He enjoys us. He enjoys us. The second one we talked about was that God puts in us a longing and a desire is to being wholehearted and passionate. That's a bridal paradigm, is a desire to be wholehearted and passionate. You know, our hearts were created as the seat of great desire and passion. And experiencing this desire and passion, he puts this in us. God, our God who loves and gives with his whole heart, designed us with the need to be wholehearted. He put that in us to be wholehearted. You know, if we have nothing to die for, we have nothing to live for. I shared that one of the greatest problems with the church in America today is the lack of wholeheartedness. Being sold out to Him. Being wholehearted to Him. Praise God. The next, or the third longing that we talked about is being fascinated and filled with wonder. Being fascinated with Him. There's a desire in us. God has placed that desire in us to be fascinated, to be filled with wonder, to be awestruck, and to marvel at Him. And we need to be praying. Praying for God to give us revelation of Him. Open our eyes to seeing how fascinating He is. God has given us that. I shared Psalm 27, verse 4. Wonder if you have that handy, read it. Psalm 27, verse 4 is one of my favorite psalms in the book of Psalms.
One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple.
David said, you know, here's a man, here's a king, had everything. All the money, all the armies. He had everything. One thing. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Wow, to behold the beauty of the Lord. You know, as we sit in His presence and we meditate and we read the Scriptures and we listen to worship music and just meditate on Him and let Him reveal His beauty to you. God has revealed, says in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, but God has revealed these things to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you, the deep things of God, if you just slow down a little bit, pray, meditate on Him. He said the Holy Spirit does that. He searches the heart of God to reveal it to us. Praise God. And then it says in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9 and 10, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through the Holy Spirit, through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yes. And the deep things of God. You want to know the deep things of God? Everybody says, I guess that you don't want it because you're not saying yes. Yeah. You want the deep things of God? Sit. Get in His presence. And ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those. He said He searches the heart of God to reveal the deep things of God to us. Praise God. It takes God's activity in us to know God. So let Him work in your life and reveal Himself in a greater measure. Praise God. The fourth longing is to possess beauty. The fourth longing of bridal, of this bridal paradise. We as members of the bride long to receive the impartation of the bridegroom's beauty in our own lives. God placed that desire in us. The beauty that God possesses is imparted to His people through redemption. He makes the redeemed beautiful. He gives us beauty for ashes, it says. And when we feel beautiful before God because of the glory of His presence, instead of feeling ugly, marred by sin, and hypocritical, something powerful is released deep within our hearts. You know, there's different dimensions of the beauty that God imparts to the church. There's the physical and the spiritual beauty. Have you ever seen someone? You've known them before they came to the Lord and they got really in love with the Lord and they didn't really look too good. But then they came to know Jesus and they really got transformed by Jesus. And then they became beautiful. You ever seen anybody like that? I mean, I've seen some people that in the natural, they didn't look too pretty. But because God poured out His love upon them, because they were radiating His love, they became beautiful. I'm not saying they were these models, you know, that you see in the, but I mean, really, they just became beautiful. Amen? Along with the temporal beauty in this age, and then we have the eternal beauty in the age to come. God is doing that. You will possess the physical beauty forever beyond any of the angels of God. You're going to be more pretty than the angels. There's hope for me yet. Amen. You know, when Jesus became a man and God raised Him from the dead, the Father designed a body for Him. The capabilities of Jesus' resurrected body are unimaginable in beauty. It says in the scripture, more beautiful, even beyond the far beyond the angels. A fragrance, says in the scriptures, flows out of His body in heaven. And when He walks, that fragrance fills the city of God. You know that Jesus is a human in heaven also. He's fully God, and He's also fully human. And the mystery of Christ's two natures, it's far greater than my understanding. But it says it in the Word, so if it says it in the Word, it is so. Amen? I mean, it boggles my little pea brain. But praise God. Jesus' resurrected body is the most beautiful body imaginable. I want Wanda to read Philippians, the third chapter. No, just read verse 21. Philippians 3:21.
Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself?
What Paul is saying here in Philippians is that the same resurrected body will be given to the saints. He's going to transform our lowly body that it might be conformed to His glorious body. Wow. You know, it's not merely spiritual. You know, we want to spiritualize everything. But it's not merely spiritual, but we also appear beautiful to others in the natural. What I was talking about a while ago. Haven't you seen people that before they came to the Lord, before they knew the Lord, they weren't too, they didn't appear pretty to you. Amen? But after they came and let the love of the Lord was flowing out of them and they were going, they became beautiful. The beauty touches us physically to degrees as our hearts are renewed. Our physical body will be fully revealed in the age to come. But our spiritual beauty can be increased much in this age. I guarantee you, the more we let and get revelation, the more we let the love of God flow in us. The more that flows into us, the prettier we become. Amen? People will be drawn to you. People will be attracted to you. Praise God. The Father has made beautiful a bride for His Son. The city of God is called the bride because of its inhabitants who govern it. It is this innate need to express through one person the beauty of God that Satan attempts to counterfeit through natural efforts at vain beauty. When people try to be beautiful through empty, carnal methods alone, they end up with destructive addictions in their hearts. They get addicted to eating. They get addicted to sexual things. They just go to pot. They get possessed. When our longing to be beautiful is fulfilled in God because we are truly beautiful in God, then our hearts enlarge. Even with my sins, my struggles and weaknesses, I understand I'm the bride of Christ. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, amen? We need to remind ourselves, I'm the bride of Christ. I'm special to Him. And one look at Him ravishes His heart. One look ravishes my heart. Knowing that He enjoys me and fascinates me with His beauty, the romance of the gospel frees us from the enslavement of inferior pleasures and the domination of sinful pleasures begins to be broken. The fifth longing that God places in each one of us is a longing for success. It's the desire to be great, noble, and successful. This human longing is answered by God as He enthrones us as His spiritual partner throughout eternity. As the bride of Christ, we have the highest position of honor and authority in eternity. A position higher than the angels. Jesus treats us as a bride with the dignity of a partner in God. It says in Romans the 8th chapter verse 17, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Saying that we're co-heirs. We're co-heirs with the divine authority. Praise God. Jesus wants to share aspects of his rulership with his bride. You know, when you get married, you want to share everything with your bride. Amen? Jesus wants to share everything with his bride. Are you a part of the bride of Christ? He wants to share everything with you. Wanda, read Revelation, the 3rd chapter, verses 20 and 21.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne.
He's giving us the bridal partnership wherein we will sit with him in power and privilege and position as his eternal co-heir. When Jesus visited John on the Isle of Patmos, he returned in his resurrected body to show John the great promise of honor and power that is his ultimate desire for the church. It's for the church. For the church. As humans, we are the secret in God's heart. We will sit in God's presence throughout eternity. I've been telling us, we're something special to him. Even when we don't feel special, we're still special to him. We will sit at the table feasting with Christ and also sit with him in the position of government and authority. I mean, we listen to all these politicians and all this other junk going on, and they think they're somebody and everything else. Wait. We're sitting with Jesus, amen? We're sitting with him in the position of government and authority. You need to read. Sometimes when you get a chance, read Revelation, the 19th chapter, the wedding supper of the Lamb. You are the aristocratic people of a heavenly city because you're married into the wealth and power of Almighty God. You know, we need to think about what he did for us, what we are in him. You know, pursuing greatness to exalt ourselves out of God's will is sinful. But God is nevertheless ordained for you to be great in him. In him, he has ordained each one to be great in him. You know, we're not talking about that's greatness by earthly circumstances. I'm not talking about having money and friends, a ministry, or blah, blah, blah. Greatness in God focuses upon his greatness, not our own. We're great because he's great. The bride of Christ is the queen of heaven. Who's the bride of Christ? We are. The bride of Christ is the queen of heaven because she is married to the King of Kings. You know, it says in the word that we're priests and we're kings. And as priests, we are wholehearted lovers of God. But as kings, we are indeed in the government of the city of God. Would y'all give me just one more longing to go through because it's really pretty. something that we started with this morning. God placed in us the longing to make an impact on others. I got it down as the sixth. Longing as the bride of Christ. As the bride of Christ, we have a desire to impact others, to feel significant, and to exhilarate others with the good news of the gospel. He's placed that in us, that longing, that desire to impact others. You know, in the scripture, several different scriptures, but in John 9 it says, as the blind man, remember when Jesus healed the blind man, when the blind man was healed, he couldn't wait not to go out and tell others about it. He couldn't wait to go tell others about being healed by Jesus. The ability to make an impact on others is something that was given to us by God. He placed that in each one of us. Amen? And when we do not have an impact on anyone, our spiritual lives lose their joy and freshness. So I guarantee you, as we prayed earlier, now you're anointed. Did you know that? That you're anointed to go share and to go pray? When the Holy Spirit says, go pray for that person, and we're obedient. Wow. It's awesome to see somebody touched in the parking lot of the Walmart. Amen? It's awesome to get somebody healed. You go knock on their door in an apartment, and they come to the door and they say, can I pray with you? They let you pray. Wapo, they're healed. They go running around. They don't limping anymore. Praise God. God put that in you. God placed it in you. It wasn't just because of something you did. God put it in there. Amen? So we need to let it go out. Amen? We need to do it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you and we magnify you. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for these longings that you placed within us. And Lord, I just ask that you give each one of us more and more revelation of your beauty, of your awesomeness. Lord, we thank you, and we just magnify you. Just come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour out revelation of these longings that you have given us, that you see us, that we're your bride. We're your bride. And we're sitting with you in heavenly places. Oh, Jesus, we thank you that we magnify you, that we have the mind of Christ, and we can see things as you see them, not as the world sees them, not as the enemy sees them, but as you see them. Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we see those that we prayed for this morning healed in the name of Jesus. Healed and resurrected in the name of Jesus. And we thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I promise next week we'll get through with this series. Amen? Oh, don't forget the onions. I don't want to have to carry that bag back.